Okay, a disclaimer for Andrew and Dale who weren't here. You should probably leave. I'm going to be talking about my emotions in a biblical sense, of course, but it still involves me being sad. Okay, James chapter 2 and verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Anybody familiar with that scripture? Because it was read on Wednesday. We'll get to why that's important later. Yeah, so this talk I've called Confluence, because calling this talk I Am Sad was, well, depressing. And it's a confluence of... What's a confluence? A confluence is normally a junction of two or more rivers. So two major rivers come together and they form, you know, another river, or the same river with a different name, whatever. Or, you know, it's an act where a number of things come together at the same time. So for me, it was being at camp. It was the movie Groundhog Day. It was the Wednesday night meeting. It was a trip to Perth on Thursday and then coming again, you know, at home. All these things all just work together to be one sort of thing that led to this talk. I was, you know, when I saw that there was, well, nothing on the talk roster except a space I was supposed to fill, I thought, this is easy. I can just give a talk about the talk, you know, summarise what happened at camp, and, you know, how easy is that? I could phone that one in. But, you know, the Lord being what he is, you know, this whole sort of set of things happened together at the same time. Why did I read out James chapter 2 when our esteemed pastor read it? Well, this exactly summarised what was ailing me. And I felt a sadness in my soul that I'd never felt in all my time in the Lord. You know, I've been sad, I've been happy, I've experienced the occasional emotion, even though I'm a emotionless robot. And I just couldn't shake it. You know, I said on Wednesday that I was, discombobulated. I said discombobulated, because why would you not use that in a sentence? And that, you know, if you're not using fancy words, it just means I was a bit confused. I was out of sorts. You know, I'd had a good time at camp. I wasn't at camp. I'd had that before, you know, when you're disconnected from the hippie commune-like lifestyle that you used to live there at Beverly, you know, you're battling the elements and you're away from everybody else. It's not quite the same in Busselton, because there's now a cafe next door that makes really nice coffee. And I went there twice, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it, that, you know, pod, cafe. I had to walk there, but even, you know, I summed up the effort to do that. Okay, so, you know, it was, this was my struggle at camp. You know, people saying they have faith, but not having anything to back it up. And I was really stuck with this. Psalm chapter 6. Now, I should mention I shed actual tears writing this talk. It's a very hard talk for me to write, and hopefully I won't break down during the giving of the talk, because that would be embarrassing. Have we got anyone online, show?
Nine.
I was going to say we should cut them off, but if we've got nine, that's a few too many. people online, you probably don't want to listen to this. Okay, so Psalm chapter 6 and verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake. Okay, and Romans chapter 12. Just to show that, again, I can use scriptures when I have to, even though there'll be non-scriptural parts of this talk. And verse 15, Romans 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Okay, so there's a few things I was going through. I'm like, okay, well, the scriptures say, you know, if you are sad, share it. If you are happy, share it. So here in Bunbury, we're good at sharing happy. And in fact, was it just me on Friday? I thought I saw on Crime Stoppers a picture of someone that looked like Pastor Philip for assault and battery of a lectern. You know, it was you know what those security cameras are like. The footage was a bit grainy, but it looked like someone going to town on a lectern. you know, grievous bodily harm. I don't know. The charges were pending, but it just seemed like, you know, and that's the passion that he has as our pastor. And look, it's a funny thing for sure, and I'm not beneath making fun of him. He's not beneath making fun of me. That's how it goes. But the passion is what we want of the people imparting the message. You know, he's in charge of our souls. You know, not just him, of course, we're in charge of looking after each other, but, you know, you want that passion. You don't want, you know, the Uniting Church was mentioned earlier today. You don't want drone, you know, let's have a cup of tea and go home. You know, I would much rather have been watching Bathurst and the F1 GP in Japan today. Much rather. In fact, I hate the Bathurst is on a Sunday and I've missed it for so many years now, but here we are. You know, such as we are in Bunbury, you know, we're a motley crew, but here we are, and we share our lives amongst each other, and that's, you know, it's a great thing because we're here for each other. So, you know, he gave this impassioned talk, and, you know, I had to follow up afterwards because I was concerned, and, you know, being trained in Are You Okay and Mates in Construction, you know, I did. I went up and wanted to make sure he was okay, and he clearly wanted to not talk to me about it, and that's okay. You know, I did my part. I went up and followed, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one because it was quite out of character. Anybody think it was quite out of character? Yeah, I thought it was. Well, I guess there's only three of us here, so, you know, probably just as well. That, yeah, who did dob him into the cops, by the way? So, you know, I heard this impassioned plea, you know, that there's this responsibility to have faith and to, you know, to back it up with some physical actions. And it occurred to me, did anyone listen to the talk? You know, that's why I asked the question of the first scripture that, you know, at camp I watched any number of people get up and preach about a common theme, but the actions that I saw of many people at the camp didn't back that up. You know, and so I became very sad about this because there was some fantastic testimonies of people particularly talking about how they had to profess, they had a choice in the workplace about telling people they were Christians or hiding it. And, you know, the theme was hiding your light under a bushel. And so there were some great stories about how people had those situations where they had to make a decision, dare I say it, for Christ, or hide. And so obviously the testimonies were about how they didn't do that and the positive effect that it had. You know, I included an early story when my first day back at work, after being baptised and filled with the Spirit, somebody asked me if I'd become one of those Christians. And I'm like, how could you possibly know that? How could you possibly know? But we do have this light, you know, we have the light of God, and we have a choice either through time coming along and becoming, you know, sort of malaise is the word I use. It's a bit of a fancy word, but, you know, sort of just over the whole thing, bored with it all, or we can renew ourselves all the time. And so this was people having to make that choice that was forced upon them. So, you know, I think of all the talks that we hear and all the impassioned pleas that may come from the platform, how much should we take out of it? Anything? You know, obviously not every talk is for every person, but, you know, sometimes you... Especially in Bunbury, we have themes that come out in the gifts and they match up with the talks, and then you don't necessarily see it happen in people's lives. And you're like, well, what's happening out there? Have we got, you know, walls around our head or something? I don't know what it is, but I just became sad about this, and it's not a new thing. You know, do we take in, you know, the ideas that are being presented? When the scriptures talk about we're new every morning, are we actually taking the opportunity to become new every morning? Are we understanding of, you know, righteousness and our sin-free nature that we can put aside what happened the day before and set ourselves up to be a better version of what God has asked us to be that day? Or do we just get up and go to work? Or do we get up and put the radio on or make a coffee or something like that? And so I've been sort of stuck in this world of, you know, trying to understand that in light of, you know, the theme of camp and don't hide your light under a bushel, you know. And I guess my impassioned plea, as it is because we're pretty hot on it here in Bunbury, was you're at camp, give your testimony. You know, don't hide your light under a bushel. You're here at camp amongst saints, You know, there's literally no threat to your existence in this environment. It's not even just a church environment. You're separated with people who are of a like mind and want to be there. And when they ask for testimonies, it's just avoiding eye contact. So, you know, praise the Lord for Sho giving her testimony under duress and Jody. You learn some amazing things down at camp. You know, they need to be shared. Why is it so hard, you know, to share your testimony? And, you know, I've given talks on this. I've got my testimony worksheet over there. For those of you who are infirm and can't remember what God's done in your life, you can write it down and read it out. You know, and I just watched this and I thought, it's sad to me. God has done an amazing work in everybody's life and they're not prepared to share it. Okay? They're not prepared to share it. And that was sad to me. You know, I give my testimony often, and it's because... Oh, I'm breaking up here. Because God's done amazing things in my life. The more I do, the more he does. You know, trying to get that across to people, you know, when you're out witnessing, what's better to say, God did 3 great things in the last month, or 15 years ago I had a thing? You know, that doesn't sell the blessing of God. What sells the blessing of God is that he's real, he's alive, he works in our life, and we're pleased about it. You know, that's what sells the experience that we're selling, that God is alive. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. And, of course, the more I looked into this, the more, you know, there's any amount of times in the Bible where people are sad. You know, David was sad, David was dumb. David was many things, but, you know, he was sad. The prophets were sad. You know, their job was to go out and preach the word of God to people that didn't want to hear it. And not just didn't want to hear it, they wanted to kill people for expounding the word, you know. So, generally speaking, we're not in that environment here in Western Australia. You know, we can expound the word of God and we can tell people about signs and wonders and miracles. Or can we? You know, do we have that in us? Okay, so Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So pretty tough words, pretty tough words. But, you know, it is obviously our job to go out and preach the word. But, you know, Jesus clearly saying here, don't waste your time. If they won't accept the word, move on. And also, obviously, you know, do it with a purity. You know, make sure that you're out representing God as best as you can represent God. Be, you know, it's a corny phrase, but be the best version of yourself that you can be for God. You know, be out there doing that work. In verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Okay, a great promise, obviously, of receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, a process that we went through. But, you know, it's also a physical thing. If you're at camp and, you know, it's like people turn up to camp, and again, this is my observations, and everyone has their reasons for these things, but they turn up for camp completely unprepared for being at camp. Why is that? You know, you've come down from I look at the musicians. You've come down from Perth expecting someone to provide you with a musical instrument to play. Okay, we put a piano down there. You don't like the piano? Bring your own piano. You know, where's the drums? You know, there was no drums. How could there be no drums at camp? There was no chorus books. How could there be no chorus books? How could the chorus leader not have a chorus book? How could it be that the only person that actually bought a chorus book had to give their chorus book to the chorus leader every time there was choruses? How was it the chorus leader that knew, because they'd been at camp, there was no chorus books, still got up there and said, there's no chorus books? Who are we as Christians? You know, I just look at these things and I thought, is this how we're prepared to work with God? Is this all we're prepared to offer? Is that we can't even be bothered getting to the meeting on time. At camp, you just got to walk from your caravan to, you know, how is that? How is it that, you know, you don't know the words to the choruses, you didn't bring a chorus book, you know there's not chorus books. It boggles me. And now, I'm absolutely prepared to accept that I'm not a people person, because I'm not a people person, but I look at people. And I try and learn, you're all broken, you know. No, I need. You know, I work with computers. I need rules. I need order. I need patterns. You know, you're all over the place. So I'm sitting there trying to understand these things. I'm like, okay, the first meeting, I get it. The second meeting, maybe. The third meeting, come on, you're pulling my leg here. When you don't, there's no chorus book, so you can't sing chorus. It makes no sense to me. People come to camp and they're shocked when the pastor up the front asks for volunteers to do the cleaning. Like there's never been cleaning at camp before. You know, it just makes me sad that you want all the goodness that is prepared, and is on offer. You want the fellowship, you want the free tea and coffee that magically appears, or you go next door and, you have to bring your own cup. Or, it says in James, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. There is work that we have to do, brothers and sisters, as Christians. The church doesn't run itself. Pastor Phillips talks, actually I should have checked with you, do they arrive by owl or do you have to write them? Generally, we have to write talks, and so there's a reasonable amount of work that goes into writing a talk. Well, actually, you've talked about how there's a complete lack of effort sometimes, but there's work that goes into this so that we can be enriched as an assembly. It's jobs that got to be done. So I was getting sad because I'm there trying to do the audio, and I just watch the same people turn up and make the same mistakes here. I'm like, why is this? How can we not learn that we've got to put in to get out? How can this not be understood? And I'm looking at people that have been saved as long as I have, 20, 30 years. How can it be? It made me sad. In Matthew, there was a positive outcome here where, that there was asking and there was receiving. So, I thought after Pastor Phillips talk on Wednesday, I started to feel better. It's like he gets it, he's taken one for the team here. He's telling us what we've got to do. We've got to embrace it. I had to go up to Perth on Thursday, and I had a really important meeting, and it was for a project sign off. I've been working 18 months on this project. It went great. I was with my crazy boss, the guy that wanted to sack me. It's just like he is completely taken over by aliens. So we're having a meeting with senior people from IBM who've come over from Sydney, and he's just gushing about how great I am at my job. I'm like, this is really embarrassing. In fact, one of the guys rung me up the next day. He's like, what's going on with your boss? I'm like, I have no idea. I seriously have no idea. That's how much of an amazing... So I'm feeling pretty good about this thing. This project gets signed off. I come back to Perth. I come back from Perth. And I check in with Michelle. How'd your day go? She was supposed to go down the beach. I didn't go so well. Why didn't it go so well? Well, she started telling me about these birds, and she tried to save these birds. And I'm ashamed to say, my first thought was, I dodged a bullet on that one. because she was trying to save the lives of these birds. She'd found them. The tree had been cut down, and she tried to do this thing. Matthew 6:26. Let's have a look at that. Okay, Matthew 6:26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Now, there's actually two answers to this question, depending on whether you're a sparrow or you're not a sparrow. Okay, the scriptures are clear about this. Okay, so I've argued many times when I've given talks that actually, why are we any different to birds of the air? God created the birds, they do their job. God created us, we do our job. Okay, so in that sense, there is no difference. But also, if we look at Matthew chapter 10, this is where the sparrow part of it comes into it. It's not a Monty Python joke, laden or unladen, African or European. Matthew 10:31. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Okay, so in verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not that you are more value than many sparrows. So in terms of answering the question, are you better than the birds? Yes, generally speaking, you are better than the birds. Okay, so, let's go to Luke chapter 10 and we'll work our way through this. Okay, Luke 10:25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And verse 28, and he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Okay, so love your neighbour as yourself. Verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbour? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. In verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Okay? So, again, if you look at the history of this, this was a very dangerous place to be. I've got in my notes that, first of all, the Jews and Samaritans hated each other. We know how this ends. It ends with the good Samaritan helping out, you know, the person who was presumably a Jew because they were coming from, you know, Jerusalem, that perhaps this person was playing possum. Perhaps they were actually lying on the ground and if anyone stopped, they would attack them. You know, that happens. I've heard stories of it happening up in the Northwest that, watch out for people lying on the road because actually they're just getting you to stop and then other people jump in the car. I had experience myself when I first came to Western Australia that I saw a guy on the side of the road. I was coming back after a meeting and I stopped and five people jumped in the car and demanded to be taken home. Now, I thought I was going to die that night. I kid you not, because when I drove into the place that they lived, there was cars all over the side of the road and it was a terrible place. And they just wanted to lift home, but I didn't know that. You know, so that's possible. It's possible that there were other people lying in wait. So maybe it was the wise thing to actually cross the road. So Michelle, in her attempt to, you know, find some way to save these birds, she called a saint. No answer. Left a message. Okay? She spoke to the neighbours, asked for some help. Some help, not a lot of help. No one wanted to get involved. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, and when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. Okay, so the Levite dodged as well. She rang another saint. No answer, left a message. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Okay, so Michelle rang someone else, no answer. Then finally, Michelle got hold of someone and praised the Lord for that person. You know, they spoke to her and, you know, the thing moved on a little bit. But Michelle said that, you know, she was trying to flag down cars passing and they wouldn't help her. You know, okay, she wanted to save some birds. The birds were going to die. Does that matter? God has said he values the birds as much as he values us. You know, we couldn't return the call. We couldn't say, oh, look, I'm sorry to hear that, sister. You know, maybe I can have some prayer for your situation. We didn't do any of those things. She doesn't know how to use WhatsApp. You know, we pray for people who have children who are never coming along. We pray for situations that are never going to get resolved. We've got a sister in the Lord who's been saved longer than any of us, and we didn't help. You know, we weren't the Samaritan. She had to, you know, eventually, as I understand it, the message from a vet or a vet nurse or someone like that was, put the birds back. So the birds got put back, probably died. You know, what a great outcome. That's why I felt ashamed, because I thought I dodged a bullet, and then I heard this story, and I was just so sad. I was so sad that, you know, this is one of the people in our church, and this is how it rolled out. Yes, we're all busy doing things. You know, we've all got things going on in our lives. She doesn't have a car. She can't drive. Maybe with Brent, you know, we can hook her up. But, you know, I was away. I didn't know about any of this. Nothing I could do. You know, it's just show me thy faith with thy works. You know, we have to look after each other, brothers and sisters. You know, it's hard. This is just a small thing, but what if it wasn't just a small thing? I was sad about this. I was sad about camp, you know. And so the only answer, as Pastor Philip said, the only answer is actually not to try and figure it out for ourselves, because I'd spent a week trying to figure this out and I couldn't get my head around it and I was just getting worse and worse and worse. So Michelle, to her credit, asked me, what lessons should she learn from this experience? And I said, well, there's one obvious lesson. Nature is cruel, but we are crueler. That's what else do you take away? You know, humans are cruel, whether intentionally or unintentionally. You know, no one's got time to help. No one wanted to be the Samaritan. No one wanted to get involved. No one wanted to go to the vet. She wasn't asking to pay for the vet. She just needed a lift to get the, you know, wanted to feed the birds. It's just sad. I saw this at camp. People just looking after themselves, just going about their business, avoiding eye contact, doing what they had to do. You know, it was a sad thing to me. Fortunately, I had a revelation. God doesn't get people either. Whether we like it or not, God doesn't get people. He created us, he empowered us, he gave us all the tools we needed to have a relationship with him. And the whole of the Old Testament is scattered with just monumental mess-ups. You know, the children of Israel turned away, they did dumb things, they intermingled with, you know, other people, they intermarried, they diluted the word. You know, he had to come in with catastrophic interventions and set them right. Occasionally there were kings that did the right thing, most often not. Yeah, so in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, and I'll just read it for time, it says, "Yea, I've loved thee," he's talking about Israel, "with an everlasting love." In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Well, we are peculiar. There's no doubt about it. You know, I love that in Bunbury we are peculiar people. You know, we love the Lord. We love what the Lord's done for us. We love serving the Lord. You know, but as you know, I said to Pastor Philip that in Nehemiah, earlier from where he was reading today, Nehemiah, you know, whilst trying to save the city by rebuilding the wall, after 26 days, had to remind everybody why they were there. They'd given up after 26 days. It only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. And people have lost interest after half that time. So we have to be reminded of God's lessons. We have to be reminded of his word, of his salvation message often. You know, that's what we have to do. So, you know, I don't understand why people don't love the meetings. I can't find it in my head why people don't love the meetings. I don't understand why people sit at the back and not at the front. You know, I don't understand these things. I'm trying to get answers. But for me, when I sit in the front, I'm getting the undiluted message from the person giving the word. I'm right there. You know, there is no one behind me. There are no children playing in the aisles. There's no one messing around. There's no one on their phone. There's just me and the word of God being preached. You know, I love that. I don't get why people don't come to the second meeting. If you've come to the first meeting, why don't you stay for the second meeting? Why would you not want... Well, I can understand why you didn't stay today, because I told you not to stay. But, you know, I don't understand, if you put all that effort in, why you can't stay for another hour. Literally, like Jesus said, can you not wait with me 1 hour? Why can't people do that? You know, we start off with excuses. They become reasons and they become habits. You know, we've suddenly decided that it's okay, we don't need to be at the second meeting on a Sunday because I've been saved for 25 years and I'm still here. Well, praise God that you are still here. But how much better would you be doing in the Lord if you're at all the meetings? You know, it's just, I can't understand these things. And it makes me sad. We'll just finish off in Psalm 6. But when I realised, you know, when I realised that, you know, if God doesn't get us, there is literally no chance in my lifetime that I will understand people, and that actually gave me rest. You know, I can't pretend to know simple things, let alone, you know, everything that God has to know. But it gave me an insight into when you're reading, you know, the Old Testament in particular, because, you know, it's a great place to be. When you're reading that and he's talking about his love for his children, his love for his people, but his absolute sadness, I got a glimpse into that. You know, you want everybody to blossom in the Lord. You want all the saints to do well. You want everybody to be saved, and yet, you know, not everyone's going to get saved. You know, God wants to have a relationship with people, but people are too busy. That made me sad. It makes God sad. Psalm 6, verse 8. "Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. So praise the Lord. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Amen.